A presentation right now. You might turn me down just a little bit. Jerrica, are you in here? Come up here. And Natasha? Jerrica, we are glad you are a member of Osage Baptist Church. God bless you. And Brooke, we'll leave Mama to last. Brooke, we are glad you've become a part of us. And Natasha, we are glad you have become a part of us. Thank you. How about Dalton Lair? Is Dalton in here? Is Nella Forney? Dalton, we are glad you're a part of our church. God bless you. All right. Well, amen. Children's church can be dismissed and the choir can be allowed to come and sit with regular people. They're not going to be dismissed. These are good days. Amen. Absolutely. I'm excited about having the opportunity to preach about the coming of the Lord. And over the next few Sundays, we're going to be talking about that. I have a note here from Brother Everett Rainbolt's family. And it says, "Dear church family, my mom," this is Pam has written it, "my mom, my sister, and Kenny and I, as well as our entire family, want to express our love and appreciation for all you did to support us during Dad's illness and his homegoing. Your kindness will never be forgotten. We look forward to you all joining us in a great celebration for lunch right after church." No, they did not say that. Where is Pam at? I just thought that'd be good to put in there. No, this is a serious card, and I should keep it that way. "We look forward to you and all joining us in a great celebration when we join Daddy again in heaven. I hope you're prepared for that. May God richly bless you, Pam and family." Pam, I just had to try to catch you off guard there a little bit. She in here? Yeah, she is, yeah. She'll forgive me. Two things my old college professor used to say when someone asked him about how many points a sermon should have, and he'd always say, well, it should at least have one. And so there is two things. I have 3 points this morning. Trey, how are you doing? Got your bride with you there? Okay, good to have y'all. Glad you brought the rest of the family with you, too. Amen. Congratulations. Now I forgot what it was I was going to say. Two things that I want us to make sure that we learn today. I've been listening to Adrian Rogers preach quite a bit lately, and when he would be explaining something to the church, when he got through, he'd say, "You got it? You get it? You get it? You got it? Okay, let's go on." And so I thought, well, I want to make sure they get it today. I want to make sure that you get where we're headed as a church family in these times in which you and I are living in, which are perilous times. They are dangerous times, but also they are wonderful times, because we can turn on the TV or pick up the newspaper and see prophecy coming, being fulfilled right before our eyes as we take the scripture and look at the scripture about what is to take place just before the rapture of the church. So I said two things. First thing is, the next greatest event that is going to take place in the church, and I think that you and I need to, we're going to hammer in on this, and I think that after we see what the Bible teaches about this, that we are going to, we're going to be much more eager, much more seeking and wanting and just, oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Is the rapture of the church is the next great event that is going to take place. Now, this is what you need to really catch hold of, and I've been preaching this for 43 years, but I'm learning more and more about this event as time takes place, Brother Chuck. What we must understand that the glorious appearing of our Lord at the end of the Great Tribulation and the rapture of the church are two separate events. They are 7 years apart. And so the event that you and I are approaching, the event that you and I are to be eager for and longing for right now, is the rapture of the church. You know that it's almost like your birthday and Christmas. You know, it's whichever one is closest, that's the one that you're excited about. And so this is closest. The rapture of the church is closest. This is the next event. And then I think that time for us will pass so rapidly, we hardly know that it's taking place. The 7 years of the Great Tribulation that's going to be taking place here on this earth after the rapture of the church, and then is the glorious appearing of our Lord when Jesus actually sets foot on the earth. Now, in the rapture of the church, he doesn't set foot on the earth. We meet him in the air. And we're going to read about that here in just a little while. In the book of Daniel, Daniel speaks of the 70 weeks. And we hear a lot in prophecy about the 70 weeks of Daniel. And so the 70 weeks is actually, it is 70 years of weeks. It's 70 years of weeks. And so Daniel describes that. It's in the 9th chapter of Daniel. I'm not going to preach on that this morning. I think it's in the 9th chapter of Daniel where he talks about the rebuilding of the temple. Now we have to be able to distinguish the rebuilding of the temple that Daniel was talking about in the 70 weeks and the rebuilding of the temple that's going to take place just in the last days in Jerusalem, either probably prior to the rapture. It's going to be that's going to be taking place in the days in which you and I live. I think that those things, and I'm not up on that very good right now, so I'm not going to preach on that. But the rebuilding of the temple took place in Ezra rebuilt the temple, and so he talks about this time span between the building of the temple, and then he uses a term and he says that the Messiah will be cut off. And who's the Messiah? Christ. So Christ comes in that period of time, and scholars, which I'm not one, scholars would be able to say it was exactly as Daniel had prophesied. And right at the time of the sacrifice was when Jesus was crucified. So the Messiah was cut off. And so now we have entered into a time of the Gentiles. And we're living in that dispensation. We're living in that period of time. Guess what? Unless you are a Jew, you're a Gentile. So we're living in the time of the Gentiles when we're being grafted in. And when the last Gentile is going to be saved. And only the Lord knows. Church is going to be raptured out. So we're living right in the midst of that time. So in the next 3 weeks, and maybe four, we're going to be talking about this time period. And you help keep me straight, because I'll read something and I have to make a distinction whether that's talking about the glorious appearing when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation or the rapture. But most of the time, the Bible is talking about His glorious appearing, because that is going to be an event of events. It is going to be for you and me too. That's going to be a great and wonderful time. So you should have an outline in your bulletin if you picked up a bulletin. And we've decided to call this message the Second Coming of Christ. But now get straight here. It's the Second Coming when He does not put His feet on the earth. It's not the glorious appearing. It is the rapture of the church. And so I want us to look at three things here in the scripture this morning. First of all, the promise of His coming. Secondly, the signs of His coming. And then what is the job of the Christian, the church, until He comes again? Because at the end of this period, the church is going to be raptured out. And there's going to be a great number of witnesses that are going to be witnessing for the Messiah during that time of tribulation, but it's not going to be the church. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and we're going to start with verse 13. Yeah, stand with me. I was trying to find my place. 4 and 13. Now he gives us, he's writing to the church. Paul's writing to the church. Obviously, in answer to a question, the church had asked him a question: what about those that are dying? Because our friends are dying. What about those that are dying? And Jesus hasn't come back. You're talking about an anticipation of the Christ, of Christ's return. They really had an anticipation of Christ's return. What about our friends that are dying? What's going to happen to them? And the Lord hasn't raptured the church yet. And so Paul describes to the church what's going to happen. And he's given us all this wonderful information about the rapture of the church. And he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." So there is, he doesn't tell us not to weep over our loved ones passing away. He doesn't tell us not to be brokenhearted over our loved ones passing away, but he tells us not to sorrow like a world that doesn't have any hope, because we have a hope, and Paul called it a lively hope. We have a hope that is a wonderful hope. And you know, we can just think about those that have gone on to be with the Lord, and they're rejoicing in heaven, and what's taking place in their life, and how they're over pain. When John was describing that in Revelation, he said they were in a place that there wasn't any more tears, that there wasn't any more separation. The former things have passed away and there's no more pain. He was defining heaven there. And so he says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also," talking about those that have died, "even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, we need to focus in right here. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, that's us. Now that was Paul then. He's passed away since then. But this is us here. Those which are alive and remain. That's us. Unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That word means precede or go before them which are asleep. Now listen closely. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You hear it? Are you listening for it? Have you been in that place where you thought it could happen today? Have you noticed that the skies perhaps were a little odd looking, or there was some kind of real peacefulness that was going on? There was something a little different. Maybe it was when you were looking at that blood moon the other night, that this could be the night, this could be the day that the trumpet sounded and that Christ would rapture the church. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those graves will open up, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. The Bible does not use the word rapture, doesn't have the word rapture in it. But this is the same thing. It's no difference. Caught up, that means that, beam me up, Scotty. I'm on my way. Up, up, we're lifted up. Caught up together with them in the clouds. What else could it be? To meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord from now on. And then he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You may be seated. The promise of his coming. Look with me in the book of Matthew, and we have a couple of passages here in Matthew that we're going to look at. Matthew 16. And look at verse 27. 16 and 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works.